Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned. Hi.
I always do that.
I jump the gun. Intro.
I just get so excited about podcasting on Saturdays.
Podcasting on Saturday.
Okay, so.
So.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Literally today.
Frickin' cheers.
Today.
2 years ago, everyone listening, Shapiro and I recorded our first episode of Big Girl Pants Podcast.
We did. And it was so funny. Do you remember the drama that day? Because we couldn't figure anything out. I had to bring Brad in to help us get like the computer set up because we thought we had it and then it wasn't working. And I was so frustrated because we couldn't get it to work. And then...
Shocker.
And I know. And then we got it like all, you know, recorded and we didn't post it for like a month because I couldn't figure out how to do the editing and all of this stuff. So...
Which, by the way, thank you for assuming the responsibility of the tech guru because you are a champion.
I mean...
Teaching yourself new tricks is...
Yeah, and messing them up along the way a little bit.
I mean, we... So...
We've had four episodes that were a bust.
Yeah, but four out of 90.
Yeah,
90.
True.
This is episode 90.
It is.
Oh, shit. It's actually like 90... Four.
No, it's actually 89 because I miss one of the episode numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a mishap with one of the episodes.
Okay,
but
so
we didn't know we had an we didn't know we had a mishap until after we recorded the one that came after it, and so I just left it since I'd already had that intro.
Yeah.
Big Girl Pants Podcast. You know, episode 89. I thought, well, let's just leave it.
Yeah. And,
so yeah, we're going to call this 90, but technically.
So, but with that being said too, with all of the mistakes and everything, what we've recorded 93.
Oh, well, yeah. 93, 94. Wow. Actually, right.
We're almost to 100.
Well, and there was one that you recorded without me because I was at the shooting range that time.
And it didn't record.
And that one didn't record, right?
Which is kind of like a blessing in disguise. But so I was thinking either last night or two nights ago and then on my way over here, like I want to talk about what you've learned in the past 2 years from recording this podcast.
Yeah, that's good.
And then what you think, and then obviously what I've learned, and then what you think we will continue to do going forward.
What the... BGP mission will become or
is? Maybe, or because I feel like it's, you know, obviously we first started it. Oh, there's my...
What have we not learned?
That's, no. That's my alarm clock to get Matt's coffee mug that I left over here.
Okay, that's funny.
It just went off. but like what we've learned and then like what we thought would happen and what has actually happened.
Well, that's an easy one.
Okay.
But before we get into that, I do want to tell everybody, what is your Instagram handle?
Me? Like, April J. Melton.
April J. Melton. Do you still have the other one that...
So it was My Pesky Journey, but I changed it.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys go find April on Instagram and follow her. You've got to watch. I mean, she's kind of through the journey now, I would say, but you've got to go back and look and see the progress over the last 2 years.
It's
insane. It is so inspirational. Because I've been trying really hard and I look exactly the same.
Well, thank you.
I mean, when I say I'm trying really hard, I am about an eighth of what she's accomplished. I haven't really tried that hard. But yeah, so it's amazing. Just the transformation.
Thank you.
And you just look so beautiful. Not that you weren't before, but I think now it's not about weight. It's about... I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It really is like
something else.
It sounds so cliche, but it's like inner peace, man.
Yeah, that's
for real.
Yeah.
Like I feel, and I've been thinking about this for the past couple of weeks too. Like I feel like the last, when did I got separated in December of 2015. So I would say the last 5 years have been so transformative, almost like caterpillar to butterfly kind of thing. And I feel like every single thing, not to sound trite, but every single thing I went through that was hard, that was rough, all those, all the crying, all that stuff. I feel like all of that work has now come together and I'm finally like, I can take a breath.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's so nice.
Well, it's almost like you can't take back any of those things. Mm-mm. Because that's what got you where you are. It's exactly. Like crossing a river, right? And if you're going stone by stone, let's say like that there's a stone path that'll get you across, and yep. you have to hit each stone to get to the other side.
Yeah, you can't skip them.
You can't skip one.
Nope.
You might fall in the water.
Because you won't appreciate right. when you finally get to the other side.
Exactly. So
that's what I feel about like work. I feel about like with parenting. Yeah. I feel about like with relationships, like with everything.
It's a journey.
I'm finally in a job that I like am so happy at, but also at peace with, because I go in every day, I'm treated as a professional.
Yeah.
I'm like respected, I'm valued. And that's
good.
It's so impactful mm-hmm. because that then drives you to want to do better right. for the company, for the organization, for the culture, for everything.
Leaders, take note. Like it's not hard to get people to engage. They just want to be heard. They want to feel like they matter.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so I think you look amazing.
Thank you.
I want people to go back and see that because I think it would inspire people.
Maybe I'll post a transformation picture.
I think you should because I just think people love seeing the before and after of anything, anything. So I think you should do that. So the question was what now?
What are we talking about?
What was that?
So I want to talk about, first we'll start with what you've learned since we started the podcast.
Okay, well, let's start there.
Okay.
So what I've learned a few things. I would say the most important lesson that I have learned from having this podcast is that true happiness doesn't come from the roles that we play. What I mean by that is this podcast is a hobby. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
We're not making any money off of this.
No.
I mean, we could. We've got people who want to sponsor us. We just haven't sat down to like...
I know, we'll get there.
Engage with them yet. But I think the fact that I have this podcast and I have met so many inspiring and wonderful people along the way, it makes me feel like even when things aren't going super well at work or when they're not going super well in other places, like this is sort of my center.
Yeah.
This is our hobby and it's fun and we love it. And I've got something that's meaningful, very, very meaningful outside of the job or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, I don't know,
outside
for me.
Outside of your titles or those roles that you play like mother, wife, employee, etc.
So it just kind of keeps me centered.
Yeah.
And I think the people that we meet too who are doing super cool, fun things, it is wildly inspirational.
I know.
To meet these people who have ideas and then
They just bring them to light. Make them happen. It comes to fruition.
Exactly.
It's insane.
I love those stories. And
me
we
too.
Have... almost 90 of them.
Almost 90.
So it's really, really cool stuff.
And most of those people are local, mm-hmm. which is even better.
Yeah. I would say, 90% of them are local.
Maybe we rebrand our podcast and we change our slogan to,
perhaps,
showcasing local talent.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
We never did it. But I think that's probably a good... The only thing is there are people reaching out to us now.
That are not local.
And I think are probably worthy of interviews.
Oh, for sure.
Or dialogue. So
100%.
I shouldn't say interview because we don't really interview. We talk.
Maybe we're just the platform for talent.
Yeah.
Who knows? Whatever.
I don't know. But I would say that's the number one thing that I've learned is just that this has given me something that's outside. I think work engagement overall is so low because people don't have something else outside of that. So when they have a bad
100%.
day, at the office, and it's like, well, my whole life sucks now.
Yes.
Well, it can't be that way, right?
Yes.
I mean,
especially with in light of recent events.
Yeah.
You pour all of yourself into work and then you get laid off.
Yeah.
And then you don't have an identity anymore because you are your job.
I was just reading a book and I can't remember the name of it, but it was talking about Japanese people. Their jobs are their identity.
Yeah.
And when they get laid off and they'll work at the same place for their whole entire careers.
Yeah.
And then if they lose their jobs, there's a very high suicide rate.
Oh.
And I don't even remember what book that was. You know what it was? It was A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't even the book. I'm listening to the podcast that Eckhart and Oprah are doing chapter by chapter. So
it's like a book club podcast.
It is. But what I did not know is this was actually something that was filmed back in 2008.
Okay.
And they just redid it and rebranded audio. It to put it out as a podcast.
That's so cool.
So I come home and I watch it at night after I listen to it. And then I'm reading the book as well. And yeah. That's where that came from. But anyway, long story short is that, you know, you can't, your job cannot be your identity.
Everything. Yeah. Mm-mm. Which is so funny because if you remember, which me and this person have, you know, come back, it's been come full circle, but you know, a former boss of mine told me that you need to stop doing all the things that you do outside of work because you have to be fully...
This is also the same boss who's looking to launch a podcast. Mm. Right. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And I also think when you have something else that you're passionate about outside of the day-to-day, like the job, if you will, you actually like your job more.
Yes. And
it's
you
less
also,
stressful.
Yes. And you like, you dedicate that time to, you know, you say, okay, now it's time to go to work. Mm-hmm. This is my work time. And then when I'm done with my work time, then I get to focus on other things outside of my life. But if you don't have that and your work just kind of trickles into your other personal time, et cetera, then you kind of like, you're like, well, if I can just work all night long, why am I going to really put in all the focus and energy into the 8 to 5 work time or whatever, you know?
We're also very, both of us are very, very regimented. Yeah. And so for us to have multiple things on our plate, we do it well.
It keeps
because,
me motivated.
Well, but we manage our calendar so tightly. So it's like Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. I mean, that's a cliche, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's work time. And then Saturday from, you know, 10 to noon, that's podcast time. And then I work out in the morning. I think you work out in the evenings.
Yeah, I do now.
But we just, everything has its time.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't bleed together and it's just the way things are. And so I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel like I have a lot on my plate because it's like scheduled.
Which is so funny because when I was doing like my best as a teenager, when I was in like from 7th grade till, you know, 11th grade, because I won't say my senior year because we moved my senior year, but 7th grade to 11th grade, I was doing multiple things. So I was in school. So school is my full-time job, but then I was playing football and I was in band. So it was like football practice, you know, before school and after school, and then after Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, I had band practice those nights. So it was like I kept myself
so always
busy.
Been your
yes, yeah. And I kept myself so busy that I didn't have time to stray or to just
make sense,
you know, check out or just waste time.
I can't say that's my case. I was not like that in school at all. In fact, I don't even think I learned anything in school. I just went for the social fun.
But to be fair, like even now, like you work and you're going to school and you have the podcast and you're a grandmother, like you're doing all these different things because you regiment that time in your schedule.
And I never feel overwhelmed.
No.
But I'm also very honoring of my schedule.
Yeah.
Very, very honoring. And I know if there's too much on my schedule, then I know I've got to take something off. Like how many times have I, you know, said to you like, all right, I'm babysitting the baby this weekend. Like I can't do or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something's got to go.
Yeah.
Or if I have a big project due for school, that's a weekend that I tell Taylor I can't babysit.
Right.
So I don't.
Which is so nice too, because I like that the aging piece, because once you realize like you said, you have something has to go.
Uh-huh.
You look at what's the most important, A to D or A to E, and you say, okay, well, C has to go because that's not a priority today or something. That's so liberating.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's when you're honoring of yourself. Because when you figure out that if you take care of yourself first, then you can take care of everybody else
better.
Which
is so hard for us because as women, we think, and I know that there are multiple women out there that follow me that like want to work out or they want to make themselves a priority or whatever. We are the worst about putting ourselves on the back burner and saying, but my kids need me, but my job needs me,
my
but
mom,
this,
my
this,
siblings,
everybody else,
my friends.
No, that's an excuse. You have to say, I have to be number one in my, I have to put my mask on first before I can put my kids' mask on.
Yeah, it's so true.
My oxygen mask to save my life.
And the guilt. I mean, I think if we could just let go of the guilt. Yeah,
the mom guilt, the woman guilt,
it's
the shame
most
guilt.
Crippling thing. And I think when I learned that, I was probably 30, maybe. I was around 30.
Yep.
And it was actually, love you, mom, but it was actually my mom that taught me that lesson, and not by her teaching me that lesson, by her pushing my boundaries and not honoring my boundaries.
And you were like, I can't do this
anymore.
And
so I finally, because my mom would expect you know, me to do something, and, you know, I had something else to do, and then all of a sudden I'm the worst daughter in the world because I don't want to do X,
which in, which in reality,
so I learned, like, I gotta have boundaries.
I'm not doing it.
And then I it's when you realize that other people who don't have boundaries are not your problem. You have to have your boundaries. You honor your boundaries. And when people get mad at you because you have boundaries, that means they have boundary problems, and that's not your problem.
Yes. And, like, it's somebody once told me that their wife told them, because, you know, this person was, like, freaking out, can't find something, and I have to go somewhere, blah, blah, blah. Your emergency or your lack of planning is not my emergency.
I know. I love that. I love that.
I'm like, damn, that's so good.
Yes. I know people that that applies to.
But it's,
you know,
also, like, I
they freak out, and it's, you know, a big situation.
It's
everybody's problem.
Right.
And I'm like, it's not. It's actually not.
It's your problem. It's not yours. My problem.
You let me know when you work that out.
Also, I love you, but that's still your problem.
Right.
But it's funny that you mentioned your mom, too, because I was like, oh, it's. And you're right. Right around 30. That's when, like, I just was able to, like, let go of the guilt, let go of whatever it was, I guess. Because Chloe's dad likes to say a bunch of stuff to me about, you know, working out and going to the gym and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, there are women, people that choose to drink alcohol, that choose to do drugs. I am not going to apologize for prioritizing my health. Working out is healthy. It's setting a good example for Chloe. And he's like, well, you know, the gym that you go to doesn't have air conditioning. And I'm like, okay, well, they have box fans. And guess what? We used to play outside with no air conditioning all the time. So she's not going to die. And in fact, she sees what I'm doing and she wants to do what I'm doing.
I've seen her wanting to work out, like, right next to you.
Like, play on the elliptical machine and, like, trying to lift weights and stuff. And, like, I don't let her get out of control, but it's a positive influence. I'm not going to apologize. And if my kid is in 90 degree heat with fans, she'll survive.
For sure.
Like, she's going to make it. But yeah, I mean, that the whole guilt thing was it was really nice for me to see that and to realize that, like, I'm able to make myself a priority and not feel guilty about it. And, like, in turn realize it's a boundary thing for somebody else, and they're typically responding to their inability to do what you're doing.
Right.
So they're like, it's almost like envy or jealousy or whatever, a tantrum.
Perhaps. I mean, I think there's definitely some truth to that. I think it's sometimes for people, it's just more selfish behaviors. There's something that they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's more important than honoring your own personal boundaries. And they
get upset. That's so funny, because it's so funny that we say that too, because I just told you the story this morning about Matt, about my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hanging out and stuff. Yeah, and I was like, it's funny because he's very similar to Brad, your husband, in that, like, I wanted him to come hang out with me today or hang out with people or whatever. And he was like, I don't want to do that. And for me, my first reaction is like, well, I want you to come with me. Mm-hmm. I want you to meet these people. I want you to hang out with me. Mm-hmm. I want.
Instead of honoring his choice to take care of.
But then I was like, you know what? I can't change who you are, and I can't expect you, because realistically, I wanted you to want to come hang out with me and also have a good time.
Right?
But I can't make you do those things. But it's also like, if everybody would just, like, remove themselves from the situation and look at it from, like, a bird's eye view, they'd be like, oh, okay, well, why don't you want to go to that? Or what about that doesn't make you comfortable or doesn't excite you? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, how many people are going to be there? You know, social situations might give me anxiety. It might make me feel
awkward.
You're
like, at Shapiro's house? Probably a lot.
A lot. Well, and it's like just with anything, you know, you can't throw stuff on people and then expect them to just immediately feel the same way you feel about
it. Exactly.
It's a life.
I struggle with that too. I mean, life lesson. Really. With my own, like, personal relationship, obviously, with Brad. I mean, I don't always, you know, I'm sitting here saying what I do for myself.
Yeah.
Am I always as good at allowing other people to do those same things? And I would say for the most part, yes.
Yeah.
For Brad, no.
But he's also your husband. So it's like, that's, you know, those really close personal relationships, like your husband, like those lines get blurred all the time, because you're like,
me too. But I'm also know me super patient with him. And, like, so sometimes I'm like, yeah, you don't get a choice here.
You're going. And you're going to have a good time, whether you like it or not. You better be smiling and interacting with people.
I love it. So what have you learned?
I have learned that not everything needs to be shared.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And also, like, to think about things before you act on them. Because just like with, honestly, with any situation, like, you know, you and I have had some very serious conversations about the podcast, mm-hmm. about where the direction is heading, where we're going, what we want to do. And like, you know, there's a lot, Matt is very much a long term, he gets to see the big picture. I'm not a big picture person. I'm an immediate, right. in the moment person. So yep. I think, and I react emotionally. So I have learned from this podcast, from honestly, from you, from this podcast, from, you know, just maturing and growing and everything. Right. Like, do I want everything about my life to be out there? Do I want everything about my life and my career to be on the internet forever? Because mm-hmm. these episodes are going to be forever. Yeah, they are eternalized.
Yeah.
So, and talking to you and like learning from you, because you are what I strive to be, like, professionally.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And like, it's so funny because this actually played through with work the other day. There was a moment where I literally felt like it was an out of body experience because it was a reaction. It was an interaction that happened between you and I at work before, where I storm into your office. I'm crying. I'm upset and whatever. And you were like, so poised and controlled. And you were like, okay, well, calm down, bring it down. Like, let's talk about it, whatever. And it wasn't even like, it may not even have been at work. It was probably a situation that happened with us, but I felt my inner Shapiro channeling itself to where I was like, okay, well, let's breathe, yeah. calm down. Like, let's, you know, and then being able to have very serious conversations without getting emotional. Mm-hmm. That is what I strive to be. That is what you have. You possess that. And I want that.
Oh, thanks.
And like learning from you and seeing everything and like learning how to be more, I don't want to say PC, but just learning how to be more guarded about my personal life and things that are happening to me, because I'm an eternal optimist. So I don't think anything bad can happen, mm-hmm. but I have to be aware, you know,
for sure.
Just be a realist, that's be cautious. Right. Mm-hmm. And you really possess that. And that's like the cool thing about our relationship too, is like, you really are like a sister, an older, wiser, like sister.
We definitely have that relationship.
I just love it.
We were connected in another life.
We really were.
We had to have been.
For sure. And yeah, like, I never had a sister. So like that, you know, I never understood that like pro female, pro women type of relationship where right. someone really wants you to prosper and do better and right. all that stuff, like in so many different aspects of your life.
Yeah.
So like that has been huge for me over the past 2 years.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
That really means a lot.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I really appreciate that.
This is like, you know, where I'm at in my career and like with the podcast and everything else, like going forward, I strive to be more like you. And not that yes. I want to mimic your life.
No,
or anything,
I know.
But
no,
like,
no.
you know, like I want to be a leader one day. I want to be.
Well, you're a natural leader. You will be
thank
a leader.
You. But yeah. I want to be like that, you know, professionally. And you have taught me so much, not just professionally, but in life about being an adult and being mature and handling like yourself in the best, most respectful way possible, to where you can walk into a boardroom and people are going to listen to you.
Thank you.
Because when you, you know, get upset about something, you're logical about your argument versus being emotional. And I know that this is not me being against women, but like as women, it's very easy for us to get emotional, yeah. but like you got to hold your shit.
You do.
You got to hold your shit.
You have to hold your shit.
If you start crying in yeah. the middle of a meeting, they're going to immediately disregard you any know. Points that you make. And I'm just like, I'm always in awe of you. And then when I had that interaction with someone who's a little bit younger than me, I felt like you in that moment, because I was like,
like, it's my turn to mentor.
Yes,
I love this.
Pay
well,
it forward.
You know, I do want to say I'm not perfect in any stretch. I appreciate you saying so many kind words, and it really, if I was a, like an emotional person, I would be crying right now. I can feel it in there, but it just won't come. So thanks.
Which
just
is good.
No, it's in there. It just won't come. I've trained myself quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say I've had just most recently an interaction that I would say that I wasn't as composed as I traditionally would be.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my shit, if you will, but right. I certainly didn't. I think I went into the situation knowing I was already so disenchanted and just so upset, yeah. I guess, if yeah. I'm just going to own the emotion
yeah.
And just not feeling it. That I went in knowing that I wasn't going to be super composed because I felt like at that moment, the time was right and I needed to be heard.
Yeah.
And I felt like even if I cross my own boundary, which is respecting people and making sure that, you know, because it's never okay to hurt someone's feelings and it's never okay to say something because you can't take words back.
Right.
You know, once you say them, they're out there forever.
So impactful.
So you have to be very, very aware of what's coming out of your mouth. And I went into a situation kind of knowing that the words that were going to come out of my mouth might be hurtful.
Yeah.
And I made a conscious decision to do that. So I wasn't proud of that. I mean, I made a conscious decision to do it.
Yeah.
And still, I wasn't proud of that.
Right.
But at the same time...
But there's always going to be an outlier.
Yeah. And I just feel like that at the same time, I had to be heard.
Yeah.
I had been silent for too long. And, you know, that's another thing that's not good. It's like you need to speak when there's something ailing you or when there's something in your mind. But the... respectfully, diplomatically, yes. staying calm.
Compliment sandwiching.
Yeah, that is the time to say something because we are like little volcanoes.
100%.
If we don't say something, eventually we're going to erupt. It doesn't matter how PC you are or how calm you are or how emotionally intelligent you are. If you don't deal with an emotion in real time or at least within the vicinity of real time,
it'll just build.
It will just
and you'll explode.
Yeah, and it's not always a good situation. So I just say thank you for all those kind words. I wish that I was always that way, but you know,
then you wouldn't be human though. Then you would just be a robot.
True that, sister. Because we weren't a robot last week.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a big thing that I've learned over the podcast. And then also like the direction, like where I wanted to go. I think that, you know, initially I wanted to use it as an outlet for me to tell my story, which I can still do. But also really, you know, it's the same like thing. It's like pay it forward or what am I contributing or whatever. And really having this platform to boost others up and to help other people.
Yeah. When we first started, it was basically us. I mean, we did have good interviews in the beginning too, but there was a lot of episodes that was really just about us kind of sharing us, right?
Yeah.
But I think we just get so much more out of what other people are doing
100%.
And sharing that and putting that out for other people to hear, those stories for other people to hear. So that's the direction that I hope we continue
100%
going in.
That's what I want to do.
Me too. I love bringing those stories to
people.
I mean,
I like the episodes where it's just you and
for
I too.
For sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
But like, you know, still showcasing new people and talking about the dreams that they've pursued and how they got to where their stories, like
local
all of that
authors
stuff.
And entrepreneurs. And I mean, just some really cool stories. Over
and
the
like
last
just
couple
inspiring
years.
People because we keep it positive. You know, we're not sitting here like bitching about stuff. Like,
no,
of course we have episodes where we complain about something, but it's like, you know, pretty much the theme of the podcast
I
is
would
like
say,
very positive.
And that's the feedback that we get too. If,
yeah.
Our reviews that we have, we don't have a lot. So if you want to go give
wanna
us one,
review
that'd be great.
Us, go ahead,
but,
guys.
But I would say that the collective feedback has been, it's optimistic and I think people think we're fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you're fun.
People like us.
You bring out a little fun in me.
Shapiro, everybody likes you.
Yeah, it's not about
I'm
life.
Telling you.
Everybody, I don't bring the fun.
Everybody thinks, everybody says,
you guys sound exactly the same. You guys, I can't even tell the difference between either of you. I'm like,
seriously?
Like,
yes, you
yes,
can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Happy freaking anniversary.
Yes,
and
same.
Like, cheers to so many more years.
Cheers to so many more.
Because that's the one good thing too is like we like this doesn't have to end, you know?
It doesn't. And you know what I'm so proud of? You asked initially what did I see this being or becoming and versus where we are.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd still be sitting here in 2 years.
Wow.
I know you did.
Yeah.
You always did.
Oh yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I just figured this was a fun little thing that we'd play with for 6 months and then
be like, eh, whatever.
Or I just figured it would naturally fizzle out because we'd get busy or
lives
whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah. I just really didn't think in 2 years we'd still be doing this.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not that I didn't want to.
No,
I just didn't think we'd be here.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that we are here and that we have zero plans of stopping. This is a very therapeutic thing for me too.
100%. It's cathartic for me too. 100%. That's why I think that it's been such a high priority for me because it's like the one place that I can go that's not work related, that's mm-hmm. not mother related, that's not fitness related, that's not anything. It's just about yep. us, our thoughts. And of course we bring all those experiences with us, mm-hmm. but it's like our outlet.
You know, I'd say if anyone out there is dealing with depression, especially during this time, right? It's such a weird year. If anybody's dealing with just feeling down and just depressed, just get out and talk to people.
Yes.
Zoom with people. Gosh. I mean, just connection alone, human connection. Even if you can't, you know, if you are a rule follower and you're doing all the right things and you're sheltering in and quarantining and all of that, and you really want to honor that, Zoom.
I get it.
Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom. It's so yeah. easy. FaceTime. There's a button on your phone. Hit FaceTime. It's how many times do we talk to people?
I know.
Hit FaceTime.
I know.
Look at them.
Look at them.
You know, make eye contact. It really makes a more impactful phone call. It's just a different experience altogether.
And it's so crazy how like the hormonal, like how that affects your hormones yeah. and your happiness.
Exactly.
And like we're a tribal community. People need to be around other people.
They do.
It's when those people are by themselves and isolated
and
all
people.
That.
New people. I think that's one of the coolest thing about this podcast is the variety
yes.
of individuals that
yeah.
we have had the honor of meeting and speaking with.
That we would have never
that
met.
That we would have never
in,
ever met.
In other life.
Nope. So that's another thing is get outside of your core people.
Yes.
They probably think like you. They probably act like you. And you're not going to grow. You're not going to stretch. You're not going to become a better person.
Yeah.
You're just not going to grow.
Yeah.
You got to get outside your circle.
We've had like so many different people on this podcast from so many different backgrounds,
so
upbringings,
many.
Heritages, like all of it.
Yeah. We really have.
Which has been so enlightening and yeah. also like refreshing.
Well, especially some of them came from kind of tragic situations.
Yes.
And they
and
have.
And foreign countries.
Right? Yeah. And they have just done such amazing things
yeah.
with their lives. And you know, there's one collective thing that I've noticed about all of these individuals. Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm.
Optimism.
I know.
They're positive people. They
yes.
believe in themselves and they believe in their mission and they believe in whatever it is that they set out to do.
Yep.
And they're just. They're just positive people.
It's kind of what my CEO said too. He was like, you know, my wife always says, well, what about plan B? And he's like, you know, Lise, I'm just all in on plan A that
yeah.
I don't ever have to think about plan B
yeah.
because plan A is going to work. So I'm going to make it work. And I was like, man, that's so,
so good.
That's so good. But it's also like me. And
right.
I'm like, what plan B? Oh shit. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know, like it's
I
just,
it.
You just go all in with that blind optimism
yeah.
and then you just make it happen. And all of the people that have been on this show have said that, like
yeah.
they just, there was no other option. They didn't have another choice.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like I have a successful life. I have everything I ever wanted and everything I ever thought I would want.
Yeah.
And so I'm super, super thankful and appreciative of where I am.
Yeah.
But I always knew what I wanted.
Right.
Always knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like, that's not going to happen because
that's
I
so powerful.
Don't have the education because I didn't for a long time.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to go for that job because, you know, whatever the reason.
Yeah.
I never allowed those boundaries to
yeah.
get in the way
not
boundaries. What's the word? Obstacles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was no plan B
or like the self-doubting thoughts. Like you didn't have those,
you know, I don't want to say I didn't have them, but I learned how to kill them.
You didn't let them take over.
I did not let them take over. I learned that my will is going to prevail, not the thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
So you just got to push it out. It's that whole imposter syndrome. So to say that I didn't feel that would not be accurate.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first time I was ever in a boardroom setting.
Yeah.
I was 24 years old and I was working for Transamerica. That's where I met Brad.
Yeah.
And I had worked my way into the accounting department. I had zero accounting experience. None.
Get it.
None. Right? I was just working for this cool guy who noticed that I had an aptitude for spreadsheets and I was very analytical and
yeah.
he just recognized that and he's like, what do you want to do with your life? And I'm like, I don't know. He's
no
like,
idea.
Yeah, no clue. I was probably 23. And he's like, well, maybe you should consider accounting. And I'm like, well, okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah,
like at that time, I didn't have a freaking clue.
Yeah.
Well, he introduces me to the CFO at Transamerica, and he said, just give her a shot. Like, and then they interviewed me for a fixed asset accountant role. I'm like, hey, y'all.
What?
So when I said I don't have any accounting experience, yeah, like I wasn't getting
none.
So they gave me the job, and because I was tenacious and, you know, I worked real hard and I was smart, I was able to figure it out. But I even told him in the interview, I was like, you just fire me. I'm like, if it doesn't work out,
Fire me.
Yeah. Give me a shot.
I'll go get another customer service job. I'm a hell of a lot cheaper
than somebody who comes in with the degree. Well,
that's
the
crazy part, too, is that that's what they say. And that's why companies like to hire, like, athletes or, you know, people that have a really good positive attitude. Yeah. Because they're, you can't.
Perseverance.
You feel like, it feels like you can't teach that.
Well, there's grit. There's tenacity,
yeah.
Resourcefulness. Those are the things everything that you else, can't teach. Yeah. I so agree with that. And I wish more organizations would get on board with that.
Me too.
And stop hiring from resumes.
Me too.
I do get that there are certain credentials.
Of course.
That, you know, do make it easier.
You can't hire me for a web developer job because right. I don't know how to code.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
But like.
But I mean, this was an entry level accounting position that, let's be real, wasn't that hard.
Right.
And so I was able to learn it with us and with software and everything. It's like, you really don't even have to understand completely literally, what you're doing.
Yes.
You just have to kind of know and
how
then
to
you'll
plug it in.
Yeah. And you know, that kind of launched a whole nother career for me. But I back to the boardroom thing, I remember being 23, 24 years old, sitting in a boardroom going over the P&L because it was the month end close
yeah.
monthly meeting.
Which is a big deal in accounting, month end.
Yeah. And, sitting there with all men and two women.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest by 10 years.
Yeah.
And it just, so I had to learn very, very early and very, very young to stand on my own, to make my voice be heard, because most women, and I hate to say this, yeah. but most women won't speak up in a situation like that, especially if they're younger.
They won't speak they don't up have in a lot of situations.
You don't have the credentials. There's yeah. so many things that make you feel like an imposter. You don't deserve to be there.
Right.
And let's be honest, in this situation, maybe I didn't deserve to be there.
But I'm going to fake it till I make
but
it.
But I faked it. Yeah, and I used to love that fake it till you make it until Amy Cuddy wrote
said,
her book.
Fake it till you become it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like that's how I got to where I'm at. Like, you know, when I first got divorced, I was bartending.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, it just so happened that one of my friends was like, hey, do you want a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5? And mm-hmm. I was like, yes, I want yes. nothing more than that. I want enough money to where I can feed my kid and have a regular schedule so she can go to school.
Yep.
And then, you know, I went from 37,500 a year to where I'm at now, which is well over double
yeah,
plus
yeah.
like, and it's because
in less than three years.
Yeah. And like, it's because I did not stop. I did not doubt myself. I kept going. Even when some organizations and environments were toxic, like
yep.
I didn't let that affect who I was internally.
Right.
And I just kept going. And now I'm finally where I can be like,
well, and then you yes. just, you have such a foundation now just to continue building on that, which is so, so, so fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, back to the whole fake it till you become it or fake it till you make it. I've actually even transitioned further now, and I don't like either one of those. I'm like, just believe that you have the right to be there.
Yeah.
I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
You deserve to be there. You're there for a reason. You deserve to be there. Own it.
100%.
Just own it.
Yeah. And so, it's so funny because we, you know, as women, we do the thing we always deflect or negate, right?
Yeah.
We're like, they're like, oh, you look really good. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I love your makeup. Or, oh, thanks, but it's like not doing this. No, shut up. Just yeah. say thank you.
Yeah, right.
Like, just say thank you. And yeah. once you start, like, it's funny because one of my coworkers, this is the last point I'll make because I know we got like a couple minutes, but one of my coworkers, he's 23. And he just so happens to be the owner's son.
Mm.
But if you did not know that, you would not know that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
He said, because the other day I was like, I was joking, but the brain is really powerful. And I said something about like being fat or loving peanut butter or something. And it was a joke. And of course me, like the person who's written jokes before and done stand-up comedy, I'm like, dude, I'm totally kidding. He's like, yeah, but your brain is really powerful. And if you keep telling your brain that, your brain's going to start believing it. He's mm-hmm. like, and at 23, I'm
yeah,
like, who are you? But it's true.
Yeah.
And the more I accept, the more when somebody said, like when I walked in today, you're like, hey, skinny. I'm like, thanks, love you. Like the more you start to accept those compliments and start to believe that you deserve to be there, right. that you deserve to be in that environment, that you've worked hard to get to where you are, the more you
start... You deserve a seat at the table.
Yes.
And you deserve your voice to be heard.
And you start to embrace and embody that yep. so that you have more confidence in every interaction, every mm-hmm. transaction. Like, you know, if somebody compliments... A lot of women have complimented my skin. And I'm like, thank you. I started using a regimen or whatever, you know? Right. I don't deflect and say, oh, but I have pimples on my chin.
Right.
You know, like...
Just thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, just own it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a great message to end on.
Thank you.
So it's a short episode today.
That's okay.
Because it's the 4th.
I know.
And
we're about to party.
Well,
not
I mean,
really. Just kidding. We're
gonna
not partying.
Nope. We're not, y'all.
We're not partying.
We're not.
Okay,
God. We're not.
We're
it's under 10. It's
we're
fine.
We're wearing masks.
All right. So.
I mean, we're in my house.
I mean. So, everybody, we appreciate you sticking with us for 2 years. We
yeah.
hope you'll stick with us for the next 2 years
yeah.
and see where this goes.
Yeah.
We're excited about it. We hope you are, too. Check us out. BigGirlPantsPod@gmail.com if you want to. Is that right?
Yep. If you have any questions, if you want to comment,
topic
anything,
ideas. We would love to know what you want us to talk about.
For sure. I'm going to probably start doing some polls on my Instagram stories because
cool.
polls are super easy. What do you want to see episodes about? Like
yeah.
I'll say, do
this
you want
or that?
This or that? Yeah. So I'm going to start doing that too, probably like once a week. And
yeah,
then
like
I'll start logging those suggestions or whatever.
Cool.
And then we can like have some episodes around those topics.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, have a happy 4th, everybody. I know that this is a conflicting holiday for some.
Yeah.
I just know we're with you. We stand with you wherever you are and wherever side of this you're on.
Yeah.
And I guess just have a safe and happy holiday.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Bye, guys.